Isn't that a wonderful song? I think that's the song that most members can sing without looking at the book. Probably for most of us, Brother Randy didn't have to say, open your hymnals too. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Wonderful words and powerful thoughts. Abide in Him always, and what? Feed on His Word. Isn't that great? You know, as we think through this, and we realize that there's a time when we all have been called to be holy. It's the idea of being holy that Paul is describing in this second letter to the Corinthians here in chapter 2, or 6 rather. And it implies that being holy is a process. In other words, it's something that takes time. It's something that takes a course. Paul says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted, what? By your own affections. As we think about that, this process of being holy can be hindered by our own affections. Paul commands the church, and he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He follows this up as he goes through four questions. And he says, for what fellowship does righteousness have with lawlessness? What communion has the light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? And in case you don't know that word Baal, that's actually from a Hebrew word. There is no Greek word for that. And that comes, it's used in Proverbs chapter 6 and at verse 12 where Solomon says, a worthless person. That's what that means, worthless. What accord has Christ with things that are worthless? And then, of course, in the fourth question, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And then in the verses, Paul makes it very clear here that there has to be a notable difference between the believer and the unbeliever. Unbelievers practice their faith, whatever that may be. Believers must practice their faith. Isaiah chapter 52:11 is what Paul is quoting there as you look at your text there in the 17th verse when Paul says, be separate. He says, be separate. And what Paul is quoting is Isaiah, who tells us to be separate. But he adds the words be separate by the Holy Spirit to this text in Isaiah, as you look there in verse. And so, I want you to be thinking here about taking time to be holy. And as you look at verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1, what does Paul say? Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. All those things that are worthless, things that don't matter. And then he says, perfecting, you see it? Perfecting holiness. What were the promises? Well, in verse 16, he says, I will dwell with them and walk among them. That's God. I will be their God and they will be my people. The second promise is, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Magnificent promises. And they're all summed up in chapter 7, verse 1, with those words, perfecting holiness, or to perfect holiness. You know, in the time that we have in our assembly today, I'd like to just study a little bit with you about the idea and get us on a right path and make sure that we're doing things that lead up to a holy life. I'd like to begin actually by reading the 39th Psalm. If you'll turn there with me, I want to read Psalm 39 at verse 3. At verse 3, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. You see that? And then I spoke with my tongue. While I was sitting there and meditating, that's what that musing means. I was sitting and I was meditating. Your words are going through my mind. And what happened, the result of that, my heart was burning within me. It tells of a man who's sitting down and spending time in his thoughts about God, meditating. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and at verse 1, it talks about where David is asking God for guidance, and he says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditations. David is taking time here to be holy. It is igniting in his heart the passion for God. It's burning in his heart, giving him a yearning and a desire to continue those thoughts and to meditate on the great things of God. Paul, in exhorting the Jews, in Acts chapter 13 and at verse 22, you remember what Paul said? He was talking about David, how God had raised for them David a king whom he also gave testimony. And he said, I have found David, a son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. This is David who is burning and meditating and yearning for God. And we know that David meditated often. How do we know that? Well, just start reading most of the Psalms. Those words didn't come out of a spur of the moment. David thought things through. He took time to be holy. And as we think about these things, I'd like to offer a contrast here a little bit between the young that we have among us and all the older members that we have among us. You know, when you think about the young people, and they feel like time is just never going to end. You know, we constantly hear the young people who are saying, oh, I'm bored. There's got to be something to do. You know, there's nothing to do here. and they can't wait till Friday comes. Like Friday's going to make a difference. Because on Friday, they just start the same things. Are we ever going to get there? You know, we hear that from young people. And then you get older. And when you get older, things change. Things seem to pass you by in a blink of an eye. We get ourselves into where there's never enough time in the day to get the things done that we need to do. And often we hear that, you know, there's only 24 hours in a day. I have too many irons in the fire. I'm never going to get it all done. Our lives are so busy with so many things. There's all this stuff on our plates, and it just seems like you can never get it all done. And that's a stark contrast. You know, if you're working, you're busy. If you have a family, you're busy. The house needs maintenance. The yard needs to be mowed. The children need to be ushered to school. They need to be brought home from school. They need to be taken to extracurricular activities. Maybe you're in college and you're just busy studying day after day, trying to make ends meet. And what happens as a result of that? The result in your life is that you're filled with so many distractions. And that's a fact of life. We all get busy as we get older. But just as factual, these distractions, and there are many of them, when we have them, we need to make choices. We need to get serious about what is important and what is worthless. If we're going to perfect holiness in our lives, we need to realize and make serious choices about these distractions. And we do have many, but we have to make choices. In the book of Luke chapter 18 and at verse 14, you remember Jesus, he's talking about what causes some people to lose their souls. And he refers to something as cares and riches and pleasures. Those are the distractions. These are the distractions that cause us to go in the wrong direction often, too often. Cares and riches and pleasures. Luke chapter 18, verse 14. Too often we get caught up. And I might say we get drugged down or dragged down. And the problem is, it's because we're in pursuit of the cares and the riches and the pleasures. And we lose sight of what's really important. You know, it's like when you're on the playground, we need to take time to be holy. And when we're on that playground, remember us older folks, you remember the carousel, the merry-go-round, that little top spinner thing. And you would get on that, and you would run and run and run around and get it going as fast as you could, and you get on it, and then you hang on for dear life. And then some adult comes by and thinks it's funny. We're just going to spin that, and you get going so fast that you're terrified. But you know, life is like that. We get on. And sometimes it just goes so fast that there's just no time to get off in the right places. When these things used to be around, they were taken away because they're supposed to be dangerous. Boy, we had a fun. It was great to be on that thing and get off at the wrong time. You just flew off out into the gravel. And we enjoyed it. But as we think about this, houses, needs, shopping, cooking, cleaning, lawn mowing, it's all a part of work. Networking, school activities, sports, social media, the internet, and it just goes around and around and around and around, and we just, oftentimes, we forget what's important. You remember the book of Luke chapter 10. Jesus has gone into the house, and if you look there in Luke chapter 10, verse 41, actually, Jesus says to Martha, who's complaining because Mary's not helping. You remember what he's... Martha, Martha, Martha. You're worried and troubled about many things. And then, of course, in verse 41, remember what he said? But this one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away. Mary chose the good part. Yes, there were distractions. Martha was distracted by many, many things. But Mary focused on what was really important. What did she focus on? What was the good thing? What was that good thing that would be never taken away? Jesus. She was taking time to be with Jesus. And we need to be more like Mary than with Martha. And we need to choose the good thing. You know, what happens here is that we get so distracted by so many things that we just choose the bad part. We need to be like David. A man after God's own heart, he was burning and meditating in his heart on the Word of God. We need to be like Mary. We need to choose the good part. We need to take time to be holy. And listen to me carefully. Being holy doesn't happen right after baptism. It's a process. Yes, our sins are washed away. Yes, God sees us as holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. But a holy life doesn't happen because you were baptized, because you're a member of the church. You need to take time. It takes effort. You need to choose the good things in order to be holy. And listen, God never expects you to just stop living. He doesn't want you to go join a monastery. That's not what Paul did. God doesn't want you to go in a cave and just be alone and wait till the end. We need to participate in life. He gave us this good life. Life is full of blessings, but we need to realize the important part. We need to be holy as He is holy. And that only happens by taking time out of your day, setting time apart to be holy. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verses 13 through 14, Solomon kind of said it clearly. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter, the whole matter. Fear God and what? Keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Right? And for God will bring every judgment, every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it be good or evil, whether it be a good thing or a bad thing. You see, we need to choose the good thing. We need to hear that conclusion. Paul, encouraging the saints at Philippi, explained that no matter what happens to me in my life, no matter what hardships that I endure, no matter how people treat me, it doesn't matter what happens to me in my life. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And what he's not saying there, again, is that I'm not going into a monastery. He's not saying I'm just going to abandon life. What he is saying is that Christ is the center of my life. He is the meaning of everything that I am. I exist now in this life because of Christ in my life. Christ is the center of my being. And now I set everything that's not important aside, no matter what those things are. I set them aside because they're unnecessary. And I do it for Christ. And now I take time to be holy. When we take time to be holy, we're getting off that spinning wheel. We're getting off that merry-go-round that doesn't ever seem to stop. That wheel of life. And we're beginning to focus on the good thing. On Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12 and at verse 2. I want you to think. I want you to meditate. And I want you to think and meditate on Jesus' life. Was there anybody that you can think of that had more going on in his life than Jesus? I mean, he was busier. He had a hectic life. He had to deal with arguments and persecutions day after day after day. He was chased from one city to the next. He had arguments constantly. Is there anybody? And I want you to remember something. Jesus' life in the Scripture, what we're talking about is 3.5 years. He crammed, literally, maybe metaphorically, he crammed an eternity into 3.5 years. And you'll remember that last 3 years of his life, which is on record, his public ministry, that he began his days early in the morning, till late at night. In fact, he was on the move so much that the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now notice with me. In spite of his busy life, in spite of his exhausting ministry, you know, there isn't a minister today, a preacher of the gospel, a Christian, period, that can say, "Why? My life was tougher than Jesus. I mean, I'm busy." I heard Brother Lee in one of his messages talk about a preacher, and they work, and you know, up to 14, 15 hours a day, and I can relate to that. But I can't even come close to the life of Jesus. You know, he's out there seeking to save the lost. Nowhere to lay his head. And Jesus took time out for things that were important, holy matters. He took time out. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. I want you to think about this. Jesus took time out. In John chapter 6, verse 15, what does it tell us? It tells us that Jesus departed again to the mountain by himself alone. He took time out to be by himself alone. And I think with God also. Jesus took time to be alone with his thoughts, to be alone with his Father, and to meditate and to think. And he was taking time to be holy. In John, in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, notice this now. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. You think about those four words. As his custom was, what did he do? He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. As his custom was. Do you hear that? Our Lord was never too busy, never too distraught. He never was too tired, never, ever, ever too bothered to go and worship God on the Sabbath day. He never put off worship of His Father. He took that time because that's the good thing. That was the important thing. In Matthew chapter 14, if you want to look there, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 and 23, you notice that Jesus there, amidst a full day of trials and work, he still took time to go up on the mountain to be by himself. You see, his life was not so distracted, not so overwhelmed, not so filled that he couldn't stop, take time, and petition God. What are we learning? I think we're learning that to recognize what was important to Jesus needs to be important to us. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, in the flesh, our Lord, our Master, our King, He took time out of His busy schedule to be holy. Can we do any less? Listen to me, church. Jesus, if Jesus took time to be holy, took time out of everything, time to do the things that he needed to do, things that were right and good, to worship God, to pray, to be alone with his thoughts. Listen, if our Lord, Master, Savior, and King did that, then which one of us can ever rightly say, "I'm too busy"? How can any of us be too busy today to do the things that God has placed us here to do? In Ephesians chapter 5 and at verse 16, what did Paul say? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, redeeming the time. Purchase the times. Church, this means that you need to make the time. You better make time. You need to purchase time out of your week to do the things that are important, the things that are good. Things that God has intended us to do. Isn't that what Paul's commanding us to do in this chapter here in Corinthians? Pursue or perfect holiness. And when we think about this, it doesn't matter how crowded your life is. It really doesn't. It doesn't matter how busy you are. It doesn't matter how hard it is. What I don't want to hear, and listen, I'm not talking about the faithful members that are always here, always faithful, and one day, you know, Brother Terry wasn't here last week. This morning, where were you? It's a surprise. Terry's not here. He's either dead, laying on the side of the road somewhere, maybe. Kind of worried about Brother Terry there. But what I don't want to hear is from, oftentimes you hear from brethren that, you know, I'm just too tired. I'm going to take off today. I'm not going to be here. I'm a little bit too busy. I have things to do. Don't want to hear it. Redeem the time. Purchase the time. Make the time. Purpose in your heart, Daniel chapter 1 and at verse 8, like David did. How busy are you and how hard is it really? Doesn't matter. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Listen to me. God never asked you to do anything that it isn't possible for you to do. God today is not going to ask you to walk on water. God today is not going to ask you to raise the dead. God today is not going to ask you to go to heaven and prepare a place for me. Because you can't do those things. But you can consciously and with a good heart choose the good thing and take time to be holy. If our Lord could take time in His busy life to be alone with His thoughts, to meditate, to talk to the Father, to take time to worship on the Sabbath, even time to pray, so can we. So can we. You know what is not going to fly? Is that we may get along through life and tell people, well, I'm just too busy today. You know, I got a lot of things to do on Sunday and Wednesday. It's just a little too hard for me to travel the distance, and I really do need that time to rest for myself. When you stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, you're going to say to the Lord, Lord, I was busier than you were. I had so many things to do. You have no idea, Lord. It's not going to fly. It's not going to fly. Don't kid yourself. Right? What did Paul say? God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, so also shall he reap. Think about that with me, would you? It just isn't going to fly. We need to stop, get off that merry-go-round, that spinning wheel, and take time to be holy. You know, in the time that we have remaining, I'd like to touch on just 3 points. 3 points. Things that we do need to take care of, that we don't let life spin us out of control and that we don't find ourselves hanging on for dear life instead of taking time to be with God. That first thing, of course, is to take time to worship. Take time to worship. In Exodus chapter 20, and you look there in verses 9 through 11. Exodus 20, verses 9 through 11. And what we're reading now is God telling us to, the Jews rather, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And you know what God's saying here? He's reminding the people that in creation, I worked 6 days and on the seventh day I rested. And He's telling the people, you rest too. You worked 6 days. go ahead, work 6 days, but on that seventh day you rest. The Sabbath day is what he's talking about there. And as you can think about God and what he wants us to be like, the people in the wilderness, when they wandered around, what did they do? They gathered food, but on that seventh day they weren't allowed to gather food. The Jews weren't allowed to pick up sticks to build a fire in the house, to warm the house on that Sabbath day. They weren't even allowed to cook on the Sabbath day. They had to prepare. Everything had to be done, ready, take care of all those worthless things, and then come and worship me. Come and worship me. Think about it. God created things in 6 days. On the seventh day, he stopped and he rested. You don't travel. Don't make plans to be somewhere where you can't stop and be with me. You need to worship God. Take time to worship God. In Psalm 4 and at verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. You know, there's over 69 times, if I counted it right, there's over 69 times in our New Testament Bibles, 69 times where we read about worship Him. Worship the Lord. Worship. In the New Testament, we need to take time to worship God. Remember in Luke chapter 4 and at verse 16, we talked about Jesus. It was his custom. As it was his custom, he went into the synagogue and he stood and he read from the scriptures. He worshiped God. He took time to be holy. Now listen to me. Here's something to meditate on with that thought. Jesus coming into Jerusalem, the last 3 days of his life. He's coming into Jerusalem. Luke chapter 12 and at verse 13, the people gathered together. They gathered the branches of the palm trees and they went out to meet him and they cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. This is the beginning of a 3-day trek. Jesus had many, many things to do. You think he could have been a little busy? You think he was a little occupied or preoccupied because of what was ahead of him? That week was filled with activity. But listen, as far as the scriptures tell us, Jesus kept the Sabbath day, even before his death. 1 week before he died, he still took time to worship God. John chapter 21 and verse 25, there are many things that Jesus did which if they were written one by one, I suppose that they would, that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. And you know, that's in 3.5 years. The things that he did in those 3.5 years were so much that the world couldn't hold the books if we wrote it all down in the books. Was Jesus busy? You bet Jesus was busy. And in those last 3 days, I believe it was intensified. And you know, in our attendance in worship, has nothing to do with the length of the service. It doesn't have anything to do with what time we start or what time we finish. It doesn't have to do with whether it's dry in here, whether it's hot in here, cold in here, whether I got to put on a coat, take off a coat. It doesn't matter if the person next to me has a great singing voice or if they sound like, I can't think of the name of the pig in that Muppets thing. Hermit the Frog. It doesn't matter. You know what matters? Is that you're here saying to God, I love you, Father. I want to worship you, Father. That's the purpose. That's why we're here. That's what makes the difference. I love you. I need you. You are my everything. But when you're not here, what are you saying? Lord, it's all about me. It's all about how I feel today. It's what matters to me, myself, and I. And I need to take time to worship. I'm just a little bit tired. No, you need to take time to worship God. Secondly, we need to take time to listen to God. Think about that. With Psalm chapter 81 and at verse 8. Oh, hear my people, God says to Israel. I will admonish you, O Israel, if you will listen to me. We need to take time to listen to God. And that listening to God isn't listening to some voice coming down from heaven. It's not listening to some thunderous voice in a cloud. Listening to God is being done through His Word. We need to take time to listen to God. Revelation chapter 3 and at verse 20, Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice, you hear it? I will open the door, and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Listen to God. There was a scout. When I was in the Boy Scouts, a leader. He brought a book over the weekend, 2-day camp out. He brings a book and it's 270 pages long. It's as thick as this. And he read that from beginning to end on those 2 days. And listen, he had other things to do. Working on merit badges, hiking, camp, cooking, whatever. He read that 270-page book. And one time at the evening at the campfire, I said to Tim, you know, you need to read your Bible. And you know what he said? That's just too big, thick of a book. Too much. Too much to read. No, to listen to God means that we sit down with His Word and we open it up. There are people that will read the Sunday newspaper that thick. And they'll read every article, even the advertisements. They'll sit down and watch a 2-hour TV show and then click to the next 2-hour TV show. Watch a football game. And listen to me, people, especially adults, parents. Your children see you do that. What are they learning? And what aren't they learning? What are they hearing? What are they learning? By your example. I didn't have time to read my Bible this week. That's the way we listen to God, by reading our Bibles. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said, study to show thyself approved. In the newer King James, be diligent to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's how we learn. It's more than just reading it. James says to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. James said, he used the word in the King James, the engrafted word. We need to change this over. We need to put these words into our minds and in our hearts. 1 Timothy 4:13, give attention to what? To the reading. 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Meditate. Take time. Take time to be holy. What is God saying? God is saying, David, me. He says, I want you to read my book. I want you to implant those words in your mind, your heart. And I want you to take time and meditate on them. I want you to apply them. Remember the psalmist in Psalm 1 and 2? He meditated on the word day and night. That's a godly man. Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. Watching an X-rated movie, turn my eyes away. How does it apply to me? That's what we do when we meditate. How does it apply? You know, I'm listening to certain kind of music. How does it apply to me? Should I listen to that kind of music? When you're a prisoner of the internet, pornography, social media, how does it apply to me? What should I be doing with my eyes? Remember Matthew 7:12? The golden rule, whatever men want you to do, do also to them. How does that apply to me when a crazed driver is going down the road with road rage? What do I do with that situation? How does it apply to me when a store clerk is rude to me and doesn't help me like they should? How does it apply to me? And what should I do? How do I treat them? When your boss at work, a co-worker, how does it apply? Take time. Listen to God. Make application. The third point is take time to talk and pray with God. In Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. This is Jesus. And when he ceased, that one of his disciples came and he said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I want you to think about that. The master was praying. The disciple comes and says, Lord, teach us to pray. He didn't say, teach us how to pray. Listen, the Jews knew how to pray. The Jews spent time in the synagogue. The Jews were taught from a young age on up how to pray. They knew how to pray. And in that chapter, Jesus gives a model prayer. He doesn't say pray this, not vain repetition, but a way to pray. It's a way to learn about being humble. It's a way to learn about putting God first above and before all things. And then he goes on and he teaches a parable in that text. And in that text, he says that in verses 5 through 8, that the lesson there is to be persistent. Keep going. Don't give up. And then as you go a little further down in verses 9 through 13, he says, ask, it will be given you. Seek, and you will find it. Knock, and the door will be open. Persistence. We need to be persistent in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Pray. Remember what Jesus said, Matthew 26:36. I'm going to be dead here soon. Listen, disciples, you sit here while I go over here and pray. Jesus took time out even that night to go and to pray. You know, if Jesus took that time, so can you. I want you to turn to Psalm 39. It's something we had already looked at. And as you're turning there, those are the three things. Take time to worship, take time to listen to God, and take time to talk with God, to pray. And remember that He took the time. So can you. Psalm 39, and at verse 6. The psalmist here writes, surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. You see, cares, riches, pleasures. Sometimes people walk around like a shadow. It's vague, ambiguous. You don't even know what it's all about because they're so busy with the things in life. If you have not taken time to become a member of the church, you need to stop and redeem that time. You need today to decide to follow Jesus in His footsteps, to hear the Word, to believe and be baptized into Christ, to be added to the body, the church of Christ, and then for the rest of your life, take time to be holy. Whatever need you may have this day, I invite you now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.